Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Rolling along on this Friday night. Hope you're having a great time. And if you're not, hopefully we can make it better for you. As we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. The big news in the National Football League today came from Washington, with the Washington football team cutting ties with running back Darius Geis. The Redskins releasing a statement that they had released the running back just hours after he was arrested on felony charges, one of the counts of strangulation. And this is a situation in the NFL that is one that the league does not want. And when you're the Washington football team, as I'm still trying to get used to everything of saying that the nickname George, but just of saying the Washington football team, there has been a lot going on with this organization and the football team making the immediate move to arrest or to let go of Darius Geis following his arrest earlier today.
Yeah, that was one of them. You know, you messed up, right? You know, you messed up because it's pretty bad. Like, if the team is saying, all right, we're kind of cutting bait with you because he's still young. I mean, he basically hasn't played. He's been hurt his first 2 years in the league. Mm-hmm. And the team under Ron Rivera is clearly saying we're going in a different direction. And then you go back on the heels of which probably didn't allow the legal system to play out and say, all right, is he guilty? Is he innocent? Any of that is all of the allegations that had been hurled at the Washington franchise to begin with. There was the Washington Post article, I believe, that came out talking about the alleging sexual harassment and misconduct inside of the organization. And now when there is a potential strangulation and domestic abuse or abuse in general, Darius Geis, he didn't stand a chance. This is a time where he was in the wrong place, wrong time. Had it been another franchise, they may have been a little bit more patient to see some of the facts come out. But after that and the name, ain't no way. They're not taking any negative press from anybody that's not named Dwayne Haskins.
You know, and when we had John Middlecoff on last hour just talking about this situation, I don't see with what you say with the injuries, with the history, and now with these latest, following his arrest on the domestic violence charges, I don't see Darius Geis being back in the NFL. I don't even think it's a situation. Well, maybe down the line.
It would have to be that he gets exonerated on all charges, that it is clear that he didn't do it. That's the first thing. And then he's going to have to go into camp on a minimum contract and prove his worth. Like, he's going to have to go to a workout. There's going to be a few running backs injured, but it's not going to happen probably this season. It'll be a next season kind of deal because he's got some legalities that are going to have to play out, which we don't want to presume is guilt yet. Mm-hmm. or his innocence for that fact. But you know, it's going to have to wait for the dust to settle. And with Antonio Brown, it took them a year to, quote unquote, investigate him. And he was in professional purgatory and he wasn't even facing legal charges. So who knows how long that this will take.
Now, what that means is that as we look at the football sort of thing, which kind of transitions to a topic that I think is interesting. And we hope to hear a bit from the future Hall of Famer Adrian Peterson, but the Washington running back now steps up into that backfield. You've got Antonio Gibson, who was a third round pick out of Memphis. You also have Bryce Love, who has a year with the team after coming out of Stanford. But if you're entering the 2020 season and you want to make Dwayne Haskins be your starting quarterback, the best friend would be a running game. And it seems like Adrian Peterson is going to get the opportunity now to take over that running game. Despite the advanced age of the running back, it looks like it's going to be his job there in Washington.
He's proven that even in his old age that he still has something left in those legs. And now he's a little more than 4,000 yards away from passing Emmitt Smith. The irony in this is that in him passing Emmitt Smith is that Emmitt Smith has the all-time rushing record in the NFL. Very few people actually acknowledge Emmitt Smith for being the best running back in NFL history. And it took him, you know, going to Arizona, just playing until he was just old to get that record. And now you have Adrian Peterson doing the exact same thing. Nobody's going to say Adrian Peterson is the best running back of all time, but they will put him in their top 10, just like Emmitt Smith, even though they will have the record.
Now, Adrian Peterson is 35 years old and will be entering this season. I just want to check back into the control room. Do we have the exact audio from Adrian Peterson? We do not. But he did say on the NFL Network today that winning a championship is the one thing that he wants to win the most. But, yeah, he's 4,140 yards away from Emmitt Smith and says one of his goals is to pass the GOAT. So he does think, at least in his mind, that Emmitt Smith is the GOAT, or at least that the all-time rushing mark at least is the point that he's making. I look at it like this way, George, and I've said this before on the network, and I think it's apropos to say it again here. I believe that Emmitt Smith's all-time rushing mark is going to be untouchable in the National Football League. Said it for the last couple of years, even before Frank Gore kind of seemed to be knocking on the door, even before Adrian Peterson wants to put his best step forward, there's just no way at 35 years old that Adrian Peterson is going to have three 1,300-yard seasons, which, by the way, still wouldn't even get him to the point of passing Emmitt Smith. Like, there's no way that Adrian Peterson is going to be running the ball when he's 39 or 40 trying to pass Emmitt Smith. It is just not
going to happen. Man.
It's not going to happen.
I am telling you right now, don't do that. Adrian Peterson is the kind of guy. Remember when he came back from his ACL surgery and everybody said, oh, he's never going to be the same. Then last year, oh, he's so old, he can't contribute. Yeah, okay. He's just a dude who's built for it tough. There are certain people who are built different. Tom Brady is still out doing it. Adrian Peterson just has a special body, and I am, for one, Dan Byer, I hope, actually, I'm going to mark the tape today. I'm going to take this, and I'm going to tweet it to Adrian Peterson. I am going to call Vernon Davis and ask him to send it directly to Adrian Peterson. That way, when it's over, once he gets the record, if he gets the record, that he shames you publicly. You can't doubt Adrian Peterson.
Okay, just you know, look, you put me on the spot with some trivia that I didn't. It wasn't trivia at the start of the show. Take a guess at how many 100-yard games Adrian Peterson had a year ago.
One.
He had two. Okay.
Oh, see, look, even better.
He also had a game where he had 7 rushes for 18 yards, 10 rushes for 25 yards, 9 rushes for 25 yards.
The
opportunities are not going to be there. The last time Adrian Peterson had 1,300 yards, which is, I'm being generous, was in 2015. That's half a decade ago.
So do you see what the problem is? The problem is what Adrian Peterson said, in that he's trying to win a championship. Trying to win a championship and trying to get the rushing record, they're not going to happen in the same place. He also is under contract. The team picked up his 2020 option. And winning a championship in Washington is not happening. Not under Daniel Snyder. And the other factor is, last year, Washington had Dwayne Haskins as their quarterback for the second half of the season. And we've seen this with Josh Allen earlier in his career, his rookie season. We've seen it with other quarterbacks. If you cannot throw the football, you cannot run the football, because nobody will be afraid of your wideouts. They know that you won't do it, and if you do, you can't complete passes. There is no difference in having – I mean, if Nathan Peterman is your quarterback, nobody is going to respect your running game at all. They're just going to sit on everything. They're not going to put safeties back. They're going to say, I double dog dare you to beat us. And if you can, fine, then we will change up what we do. So Adrian Peterson's impediment is playing in Washington. And Dwayne Haskins' maturation is the thing that can stop him. But if Dwayne Haskins improves, he got a shot.
Are you going to include that to Vernon Davis when you send it? Are you going to put all of that in the piece that's going to end up in the hands of Adrian Peterson?
No, I'm going to make just, it look as – I'm going to – yes, I'm going to make it you look as bad as possible. I'm not taking any heat for this.
I am telling you that Emmett Smith mark is just – it's untouchable for the way that the NFL is, the way that the league handles running backs. It is just it's not going to happen. And here's
He'll
what's
play
even 10 amazing.
More years if he needs to.
Frank Gore's 37 years old and is third all-time. Adrian Peterson is 35, as I mentioned, and fifth all-time. Gore still has 3,008 yards to tie, 3,009 to break Emmett Smith with the New York Jets and Le'Veon Bell there. I don't know how many opportunities he'll get, but he'll get some. He could maybe in 2 years have a chance to pass Walter Payton for second, and I'm talking about Frank Gore. But this is what's amazing, and this is why I say that the record is untouchable, because once Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore do call it quits, and I don't think that they will pass Emmett Smith, the next active running back on the all-time rushing list is LeSean McCoy at 11,000 yards.
He gone. Yeah. and he gone.
And think about this. After that, Mark Ingram with 7,000. So that's where you are in the NFL. Like guys like, you know, Todd Gurley, who had great starts to their career, we see how they end up. The 1,800-yard rusher for, you know, 3 years is just, it's not going
to
happen.
It
doesn't happen
in
the National Football League.
I will give you this, Dan Beyer. I will concede this to you. If Adrian Peterson or Frank Gore don't break Emmett Smith's record, not happening. I will agree that it's untouchable. It is Ted Williams hitting 400. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, who has had a great start to his career and likely would have had four seasons of 1,000 yards or more to start his career without that six-game suspension. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying the numbers. Has 5,405 yards. So he's 13,000 yards short of what Emmett Smith has. It's amazing. And I think we were in that running era, you know, that running back era where, you know, Emmett did pass Walter Payton, but we remember Walter Payton breaking Jim Brown's record and having Barry Sanders come, you know, be one of the top running backs of all time, if not the best, try to make a push. We grew up in that era, but now when you see how the NFL is, yeah, it's just not happening.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Dabo Swinney is pocket-watching college football players. And it reminds me, Dan, of something that my dad used to tell me. Never in life count another man's money. And that's exactly what Dabo Swinney is doing, because the players in the Pac-12, Big Ten, and the Mountain West are saying, we want our coins. We are tired of this. We want our name, image, and likeness. Pac-12 wants part of the revenue. And Dabo's saying, no. Let's tie it to graduation. And I think that this is completely bogus. And he's counting other people's money that doesn't even affect his. And it is wrong.
When you think of the revenues in college football, we know how enormous they are, George. My question or my issue is, aren't the guys who are going to make their money off of name, image, and likeness more than likely not going to be sticking around for graduation? At least in that school year, maybe they'll be able to graduate in 3 years. Maybe they'll be able to be done and get a piece of it. But like when I hear Dabo say, you know, like I want it to tie into graduation, I think that does give a little bit of motivation to, you know, the guys to graduate. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, but
it's not
the
about
school
motivation
doesn't
at
wait.
All.
Yeah, but, but the school doesn't wait to start making money off of them until they graduate.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I just, you know, with what about the scholarship, you know, with everything that a player, you know, receives for a scholarship. And I'm not saying that is sufficient compared to the money that is appropriate compared to the money. But for what Dabo is saying is, you know, you're also then getting an extra part to be able to go through your classes and be able to leave with a diploma in addition to everything that you also had taken care of.
Explain
during
this
your
to me.
4 years.
Explain this to me. The scholarship has value. It does. The problem is this. Like I said earlier, players not being able to trade on their name, image, and likeness actually causes them economic injury. Because they have an opportunity to generate money while they are in college that is separate from the university. They could have a YouTube channel like Michael, I think his name is Michael Delahaye at University of Central Florida, the kicker who had it in high school. They said either you demonetize your YouTube account or you are ineligible. They could start podcasts, build robots, all of these things, and Dabo Swinney's against it. It blows my mind that the man on a 10-year, $93 million contract said these words, Dan. We try to teach our guys, use football to create the opportunities, take advantage of the platform and the brand and the marketing you have available to you. Okay, sounds like name, image, and likeness to me, but here it goes. But as far as paying the players, professionalizing college athletics, that's where you lose me. I'll go do something else because there's enough entitlement in this world as it is. Dan, how ridiculous is that? Saying I'll go do something else. He ain't going to go do nothing else. He's on a 10-year, $93 million contract. Cut the crap, Dabo. I like Dabo, but that's bogus.
I also think Dabo has had probably one of the worst off seasons that we've seen in a while, but it's just because of everything that is going on and some of his comments of what has been going on are the reasons why I think he's had one of the worst off seasons that we've had during this pandemic. But I will give him credit for at least, you know, and he said that he's always been for giving, you know, a lump sum as long as it's tied to it. So it's not totally.
Why should there be a cap on it? Like, why should there be any cap on what the players can make? There isn't a cap on how much Dabo Swinney can make.
No.
And the problem I see with this is, so Dabo was a college football player at Alabama. He came from, like, he was poor. His mother lived with him in his dorm or wherever, his apartment, wherever he lived when he was at Alabama for a while. He did not come from money. And former players in his situation and older people, sometimes it is hard for them to wrap their mind around the fact that the world has changed and players wanting a piece of the pie feels like entitlement to them. When in just logically, the people and logically and in sports, especially in entertainment, whether it's sports, music, or movies, the people who generate the revenue in terms of the box office names, they make the highest salaries. And Dabo's just like, no. This is college athletics. We don't care if you can make money now. You can't, though. You are supposed to forego some of your most popular years for those who won't go to the pros because we want to keep control of this. Nah.
I think that there is something to what you said about who Dabo is and how Dabo grew up and when Dabo grew up, because there's a part, George, I'm a couple of years older than you, but it is the way – because I'll even talk to people about this, you know, today about how the generation that is 20 years younger than me or 15 years younger than me, to me, is it is just completely foreign to the world that I grew up in. And I think that probably the world that I grew up in was more similar to Dabo's, where you know what you do? You work, whether it be working on your degree or working in the factory or working, you know, straight out of high school, however it is, you work, you pay your dues, you move up. And as you get older, you know, you get to improve and you get more money or you get more things, but you're always paying your dues. And I think that mindset is a part of this. Because and whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't, like, I never would have thought when I was 21 years old, and we didn't have the technology, but to be able to think like, wow, I should go on the internet and start my own video channel, and then I should be able to, you know, I could make funny stuff and people would laugh and end up paying me. Like, that would there was no, you know what it was, George? It was, okay, I gotta go and get an internship, and then I gotta go get a job and work for dirt cheap. You know, take all of my lumps, and then hopefully after like a couple of years, then I'll be promoted and I won't have to take as many lumps, and then I'll have to do that. I think that there is something to what you're saying. I'm not giving him an excuse, but I just think of like how it is viewed and how this, you know, world is viewed, that I think that's a part of it. I really do.
I would agree with that, and I do think that there is something to be said about paying your dues. And I do think that there are people, especially of the younger generation, who don't feel like that they should have to pay dues, that there is some entitlement. But when you are out there sacrificing as a college player, you are paying your dues. And if you start something, if you come up with a great idea, if you are Mark Zuckerberg, who dropped out of Harvard because you had a great idea, you did not pay your dues. He paid his dues. He started a company. Nobody believed in it. He had to find funding, went through hard things. He paid his dues to get to be the billionaire that he is and to make Facebook what it is now. Some people just think that paying your dues looks like you going to go get coffee and getting dumped on by a boss.
I know.
It's different nowadays. The world is changing, and we all, even though change is uncomfortable, we have to embrace it, because you either have to get with it or get run over. There's no change. There's no other option.
I laugh because it's true. Like, I'm laughing because, yeah, that's what we think it is. That's where I think, like, Dabo is. And that's why I think where he looks at the graduation, and I guess even in my case, if I'm defending him, George, is still, it's that frame of mind of like, all right, here's a reward for your hard work. You know, like, they like that's how it's viewed. And that's, I guess, maybe in a subconscious way of how I look at it and why I think that's the way that Dabo looks at it. I've always been all for name, image, and likeness. I also know, and you and I had different experiences at college because you were an athlete and I weren't. And I would look at your experience and just generalize it and say, well, geez, George probably got a lot more advantages at college than I did. You know, because he, you know, had a scholarship, he was able to do this and that. And so I think it's tough for people to also relate to the world of a college athlete because there are so few of them around. And I think that's what one of these issues are of we can maybe relate to working at a job or when you're 18 or going out of college and just trying to find a job in whatever field. But I think it's also difficult to relate to the college athlete experience. Yeah. And maybe that's why you're seeing a different, you know.
Yeah. And because that's where people will tell you, oh, I would give my right arm to be where you are right now. I get it, but you can't do it. I mean, I know it sounds blunt, mm-hmm. but there's only so many people who are elite athletes. It comes from a combination of, yes, there is some, there's some being born with some God-given gifts and abilities. But then on top of that, you have to nurture that. You have to sacrifice. You have to work hard. You have to play hurt. Like, there's a lot that you give up that people just think that you just show up and this happens. And they don't understand the sacrifice it took and the hard work it took to get where you are. And there's an element, I believe, of jealousy with some people because they have their student, they have their student loans, which are very expensive. Like they, I do not want to minimize that in any way, shape, form or fashion, because it is hard when you finish school with a bunch of debt. I do. I understand it. But at the same time, you can't hate the person who was given a head start by something physically, because there are other people who weren't, and they go to, they get scholarships from academics, well, piano, all these other ways. So there are opportunities beyond sports.
Well, it's a very, very good point that, you know, it's not just an athlete versus non-athlete, that there are other, that there are other ways where people get full rides to school or don't have to pay for their education. The other thing that I was going to bring up is what would happen if you missed class at Oregon? Like, you know, just didn't show up to class.
You get a 6:30 is what you get. That means that you have to show up at 6:30 in the morning and you're either rolling or running stairs. That's what you have to do if you miss your time. It is just like, and people just think, oh, yeah, yeah, it's whatever. No, it is not at all.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
It is very important to pay attention to what the players say. And in basketball, nothing goes over worse than tampering. The commissioner doesn't like it. We've seen Magic Johnson fined last year with the Lakers. Well, 2 years ago with the Lakers and LeBron. They're handing out fines all over the place. And Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors was on TNT's Inside the NBA, and he made sure everybody knew that Devin Booker, superstar, well, star player and scorer for the Phoenix Suns, who they do not deserve, needs to be somewhere else playing meaningful games all the time. And here's what Draymond had to say.
It's great to see Book playing well and Phoenix playing well, but get my man out of Phoenix. It's not good for him. It's not good for his career. Sorry, Chuck. But wow. They got to get Book out of Phoenix. I need my man to go somewhere where he can play great basketball all the time and win, because he's that type of player.
Are you tampering?
Maybe.
I love this, Dan. I loved it so much because Draymond is not afraid to step in landmines at any point in time. But he was careful enough not to say you can come to Golden State, you should come play with me. He just said you should go. You deserve better. Like, isn't that the ultimate like hater comment? Well, to like say, listen, your man, he's not treating you right. You need to go somewhere else. Somebody who appreciates you. I bet you I can find somebody who does.
This is the crazy thing about what Draymond was saying. Well, there are 900 crazy things about what he said tonight. This may just be one of them, and there may be two of them here. First of all, the Suns didn't even play on Friday night. So, like, they played on Thursday. So there were six games going on, but these Phoenix Suns popped up into the conversation enough for Draymond Green to voice his displeasure that Devin Booker is remaining in Phoenix and how he wants him out, as we heard in the soundbite. But what is also pretty amazing is that Devin Booker also signed a $158 million extension with the Phoenix Suns that will keep him through the 23-24 season in Phoenix. So it's not like Devin Booker is going to hit free agency, join the Golden State Warriors, and then they can start their new run to the NBA title.
No, it's actually easier for them to get him now, because then they can trade for his bird rights. It's the details, man. It is the details. They are going to swap him out for like Wiggins or somebody and get an upgrade. But I've said this
No, I'm not going to let you. I have a better chance to be acquired by the Golden State Warriors than Devin Booker does. There's no way that Phoenix, even if after.
You probably didn't think that KD was going there either.
Well, this is the point, though. Like, if he has just signed an extension with the Suns, he's literally in the first year of the five-year extension. The Suns actually made the bubble, so there's something to build on. Monty Williams has done a decent job in taking
in
trying to lead that franchise back to respectability. Draymond Green's got a problem.
They just sold their G League team. It's Robert Sarver, the owner, that's the problem. They have Daniel Snyder essentially owning the team. He's a saboteur. I'm not going to say that there's all sorts of impropriety going on in the Suns like there was in the Washington football team, but it is just – but they're owned by a professional saboteur of the team, and people in Phoenix do not like him, and there's a reason why.
Yeah, and Draymond Green doesn't like him. Draymond Green was calling out the organization in October when they played a preseason game because Marquese Chriss – was now a member of Golden State, and Draymond went and said a bunch of things, some of which I can't say on the air, even though we're in the slide over baby hour here on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. But Draymond Green also must have this issue with Robert Sarver personally, because this is the second time within 10 months that he's come out and taken shots at the Phoenix Suns organization, which again, by the way, was just out of nowhere. But there's no way Phoenix would trade him, and even if they did, one of the last teams they would trade him, the Lakers would be the last team they traded him to. The second to last team they traded him to would be the Golden State Warriors. Would not happen. Not going to happen. And I know that Draymond wasn't saying he's going to Golden State, but there's no way that could happen.
He was saying he deserves better, which makes sense. He does. I've said it that the Phoenix Suns do not deserve Devin Booker. He just hit the game winner against the Clippers the other night.
Yeah.
He scored 71 points. I mean, the dude's a baller. And he just never plays any meaningful games. It just doesn't happen. And it's to no fault of his own. He is out there doing everything he possibly can. He can't make DeAndre Ayton stay healthy. He can't make the team draft better. He can't make any of these things happen. He's just responsible for his own work, and this team is not going to make the playoffs again. They're going to only win maximum 32 games. I know that there is a shortened season, but it's like you're just swinging in the wind, dude. You're just swinging in the wind, and he's going to play 10 years of – he's going to do the opposite of J.J. Redick, where J.J. Redick, after 14 or 15 years, is going to miss the playoffs for the first time in his career. If he stays in – if Devin Booker stays in Phoenix, he will be the opposite. He will get to the playoffs maybe one time, maybe twice.
They're a game and a half back of Portland for that ninth spot right now, and I know games are running out in the bubble, but – Phoenix has won four in a row, so it's not completely out of the realm of possibility. What I think is maybe even more interesting in all of this, it's not even the Devin Booker angle, George. It's the Draymond Green angle of Draymond talking again. Remember, this is a Warriors team that is not in the bubble, so he's able to be on the set of, you know, the NBA on TNT and make those comments. And you know, I've had a variety of different feelings about the Golden State Warriors during my days, George, for the simple fact of, because I was never a Bulls fan, so I wanted them to break the 72 win mark, which Golden State did. And then I immediately turned on Golden State because I felt everybody was jumping on their bandwagon. But isn't it funny, you know, that Draymond Green, they're wondering if he's tampering or not, and then he says maybe. That Draymond Green was the one who seemingly drove Kevin Durant out of town. It wasn't necessarily the amount of shots that Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant had to split between each other. Although I think that there was maybe one of the reasons why Kevin Durant left. But realistically, it was also the Draymond Green factor. And so for Draymond Green to go and sit there and say, yeah, we want Devin Booker out, not to say like he should come to Golden State, but it's like, all right, well, you just had Kevin Durant in your team and you ran him out of town. Now you're trying to take another guy and maybe bring him in? That's just
no,
that's
he's a man of the
Draymond.
People. No, he's just a man of the people. He's like free Draymond. I'm sorry, free Devin.
Free Devin.
Free Devin. He should have showed up on the set with a free Devin Booker T-shirt on. I mean, because it doesn't really matter where he goes. You know, the only worse place that he could go than Phoenix right now is probably the Knicks or Charlotte, maybe.
Even if that's the case, though, George, now guess what happens the next time the Phoenix Suns have a media availability? Devin Booker, on a Zoom call or however they're going to interview him, is going to be asked about the Suns organization. Is he glad that he signed his $158 million extension at this
team? Yes, because he's getting $158 million. Sure. That's why.
But all Draymond did was put the spotlight on himself for a night on TNT to say that. Also make the Suns organization look bad, which, you know, that's his prerogative. But realistically, now he's put a target on Devin Booker to have to answer questions about this. Who doesn't care?
He's Draymond Green.
I know,
Draymond
and that's
Green.
The problem.
He doesn't care.
Now the Suns
are a game
badger
and a... don't give a you know what.
I know he
badger
doesn't.
Don't give a you know.
Yeah, that's why Kevin Durant's in Brooklyn now. You know, I mean.
He's in Brooklyn for other reasons. He just wanted to be like that was a convenient excuse to leave. He just wanted to be somewhere else. He wanted to go hang out with Kyrie. He got the legacy that he wanted because he got two championships. Two finals MVPs, like he got what he came for. And now he can move on. He doesn't have to win another championship, and he can be where he wants to be. That's what it was. He used him.
You know, Draymond Green is a heck of a basketball player, but he just made life for Devin Booker more difficult. You're a game and a half out of the playoffs.
Well,
spot.
Sorry you're making $158 million and you have to answer some questions.
What's the point of saying
play
something
the smallest
like
violin
that.
In the world?
But what's the point? Like, it only benefits Draymond because
I tweeted it and people got upset with me, not quite as mad at the Kyle Lowry because they agree with me there. I can't say that Draymond did anything wrong because I did the same thing before Draymond did it.
But the only person who benefits in him saying that is Draymond Green. That's the only
Draymond
person.
Draymond Green is trying to take Charles Barkley's job when he retires.
well, that's going to be for another
this is clear.
10 years.
He's
and
polarizing.
Chuck won't be able to stay up until after 11 in 10 years. So that's
He's polarizing. He says something. He's smart, a little bit controversial. I mean, what more do he knows basketball? He's a champion. He's got all the qualifications to take Chuck's job, and he even gets in fights with Chuck. This is like perfect.
Well, I mean,
I don't know what else you want the man to do. He went up there and did exactly what he was supposed to do on the set. He delivered
at the expense of Devin Booker. That's just the issue. That's, you know, the issue that I have. And again, it's not even realistic. Yeah, I mean, it's. You know, he might as well say LeBron James needs to get out of L.A. because
Stop. So if Devin Booker is fed up, as we've seen, haven't we seen this with NBA guys? When they're fed up with being in a place, they will just pick up and say, you know what? I'm out. I'm not playing
perfect.
Here anymore.
Perfect. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen it. But guess what? Devin Booker is 2 years away from that. From that point, like we see, like with Anthony Davis, it wasn't that Anthony Davis was hitting free agency. Remember, Anthony Davis was 18 months removed from free agency. It was the decision on whether he wanted to sign the Supermax or not that really was going to end his tenure in New Orleans. If he wasn't going to sign the deal, then they're likely going to have to trade him. And guess what they ended up doing? We're still 2 years away from that point in Devin Booker to be like, okay, do you want to be in Phoenix after 2024? Like those sort of conversations are going to be popping up. We're 2 years from that. Now we're going to be talking about, you know, him maybe leaving for a super team. Listen, as a Bucks fan and having to hear people make up fake stories on reasons why Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to leave and have been doing so for the last 12 months, it's going to get really old in Phoenix just because Draymond Green brings up something that is not substantiated by anything, and it's not even realistic that a deal could get done.